Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Game Gravy Rewind podcast. This is episode 56. I am your host, Anthony DeVirgilis. Tonight with me, I have Mr. Christopher King.
What's going on?
And Dante Radar.
Good evening, guys.
Welcome back to the podcast, Dante and Chris. Been a long time since I talked to you guys.
Yeah, it's been like a week for me, but I don't know how long Dante
I haven't talked to Dante probably since before Christmas, so.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a nice respite.
All right, so let's skip the Aaron Lewis been a while references and go into what we're going to talk about. So,
how many bad music references are we going to have today?
Challenge accepted. So recently, one of our writers, Jeffrey, posted on our Game Gravy like personal channel for the writing members about how he's disappointed that the game Mighty No. 9 from Infuante has been I forget the name of his company, but has been delayed. So we being Dante decided our topic for this evening's podcast would be about games that have been delayed and ones we're disappointed by, games that have been delayed that turned out still be good, and games we're just still waiting for because they keep, you know, ending up in the endless delay cycle. So I'm going to go ahead and hand it off to you, Dante, and then we will chat about each game that you have.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. The game was finished up being funded in 2013 in September. And I mean, they were supposed to have the game out mid 2014, and then it slipped to 2015, and then it slipped to late 2015, and then it was supposed to come out actually next month, and then it was delayed again until spring summer of
now,
this year.
Now, one thing I'm going to add about this is this is a crowdfunded game, so
yeah, it's Kickstarter.
Like, that automatically to me is fishy.
And I mean, we could do a whole show just about the Kickstarter projects that either never saw the light of day or, you know, never came close to what was supposed to have happened. And, but, you know, we're going to stick with some of the bigger, you know, the big boy.
But there's
releases.
Another, like, special thing about that, too, is the fact that that's a Kickstarter game that also got a publisher picked up. So that, that's, again, another fishy thing.
Yeah, you would hope that it's, you know, it's content driven, that it's, you know, that they're working on the gameplay, and then they're working on it being a smoother ride throughout the game. I mean, the industry is littered with games that were delayed and then turned out great. And then there's also a lot of games like we're going to talk about first that are, you know, delayed multiple times and ended up being
just development hell.
So. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the best way to describe it.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have a Kickstarter, you should, like, I mean, that should be your number one focus to try to get that game out. There should be no question of the fact of, like, oh, well, we're going to delay it a little bit more, give you a little bit more time, or whatever. You should already be like, okay, this is coming out this day, this is coming out that day, and we're going to have it for you guys. You paid all this money for us, we thank you, and we're going to get this shit done. Bottom line.
Yeah, it's crazy because he's supposed to also be working on ReCore for PC and for Xbox One, and then another game called Red Ash on Windows, PC, and Xbox One. So he's got three games in the pipeline, all of which are not out
and
yet.
And I think
that Kickstarter game.
This day and age, with the fact that you can make free content updates, there's no reason not to get a basic game out there.
Yeah. No reason at all.
Like, give me what you have finished, and then add in the rest of the content later on with a free patch, since everyone's already paid for the game.
Right. It's completely unacceptable in my book.
Yeah. And then he's also working on a game called Bloodstained with Igarashi, the guy that made Castlevania. So that's another Kickstarter that they're working on too. So it's just. There's a lot of stuff going on.
So let me get this straight. He's working on several different projects. And
yes.
So he doesn't think like, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't take on this many projects. Maybe I should just, like, stick with the ones that I'm, like, you know, I can actually get through. Instead of like, oh, I'm going to pick this up, and I'm going to pick that up, and I'm going to pick that up. And I'll never know when they're coming out.
Yeah, Mighty No. 9 was one of those. I've never... personally funded a Kickstarter, but that was the first game that I ever saw that I actually honestly thought about maybe giving money to because it looked phenomenal. I love Mega Man. A lot of guys on the site, and I know that they do too. So this is one of those games I think we've all been waiting for a really long time.
Yeah, I just don't trust giving my money to a game that may not be complete and that there's no refund to. So that's why I don't mind buying it. I'll buy it when it comes out, but
yeah,
I wouldn't kick.
That's something my thought process on it too.
All right, so let's go ahead and discuss some games that were pretty much delayed and are crap.
Yeah, so first one is an unfortunate one for me because I was really looking forward to this one. It's Too Human on the Xbox 360.
Did that start out on the GameCube?
That started out on PlayStation 1.
From
1999 to 2008, that was the development cycle for it. So it went from a four-disc PlayStation 1 game to a GameCube game to an Xbox 360.
Okay, yeah, I do remember it announced for the GameCube, and I don't think it was even the same game that came out on the 360. I think it was a completely different game.
Yeah, they retooled it, you know, over and over and over again from the beginning, but the original vision was always the same as far as, like, world and things like that. It was just the way that the gameplay was developed that was what was changed.
I remember playing that
game. But, I mean, they ended up... Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. That was so far long ago. And I remember I checked it out from GameStop when me and Ant worked there, and I was like, no. Can't do it. Won't do it.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys remember, but they sued Unreal for Unreal Engine 3. They had spent a lot of time world building. There was supposed to be a huge world built around this game, you know, multiple releases. They were talking about doing comic books, animated series, things like that, and it just never, the game came out, it didn't, you know, it didn't pick up, and then it all pretty much just went away, and then Didac went and made a god-awful X-Men game, and that was pretty much the last
Okay, that was Silicon Knights that did that?
Yeah.
I was going to say Factor 5, but then I heard you say Didac, and I was like, okay, that's not Factor 5. Yeah, so that was Silicon Knights, who did Eternal Darkness on the GameCube, which was an amazing game, if you haven't played it.
Yeah. That's on our good list.
we'll get there then.
They're on our good list.
Silicon Knights, they did the impossible. They made our good and bad list.
Yeah, they spent... from 1999 to 2008, making a game that unfortunately did not.
Well, you can see the difference too in the tutelage of being under, being watched by guys like Iwata and Miyamoto compared to being watched under Microsoft. Whereas Microsoft probably doesn't have anybody watching over your projects, whereas Nintendo is completely hands on.
Yeah.
Sure. You gotta throw in that little jab at Microsoft.
No, not really.
I mean, you don't need to throw in a jab on Microsoft. I mean, they do it themselves.
Sure. Here's more fodder for you, though, for another jab at Microsoft for a former GameCube project. The next one is Project Dark Zero. So throw in another jab if you'd like.
Perfect Dark Zero is awful.
That one was originally a GameCube game, and then Rare was bought. And then it moved over to an Xbox game where they actually had a working model built with 50-player multiplayer. And then they shifted over to Xbox 360 as a launch game. And as we all know...
Now, you know what's funny? Is that websites... We review games. So I'm going to knock us as well because we probably do it as well. But I remember when that game first launched, the main websites were all giving that game good reviews. And either Microsoft paid for them, the reviewers were just really stoked about having an HD system, or I don't know, maybe they were playing a different game than we played as the final product. But I want to say IGN gave Perfect Dark Zero an 8.4, which is probably about 8 points higher than it deserved.
Oh, man. I have to look this up now.
I feel like I'm guilty of it too, and it's that, you know, you get that fancy new hardware, and everything you play within the first 6 months to a year is seen through rose-colored glasses.
Now, don't get me wrong. Some consoles do have amazing launch titles in the launch window.
Sure.
Smash Brothers Melee.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Pikmin.
The previously mentioned Eternal Darkness.
Eternal Darkness was in launch window.
No, no, it was like within a year.
But you had like Pikmin was in that launch window. Luigi's Mansion could have been better. I'm not going to really say that that was great, but Rogue Squadron 2 was amazing.
Yeah, Factor 5.
From Factor 5, of course. I'm trying to think of like newer consoles that launched with good hardware but are good games, but like PS4 really took a while before it even got anything like that I could say was amazing.
Yeah,
I mean, I was one of those fools that bought both consoles at launch, and I remember not really having a whole lot of good games to play on. I remember really liking Titanfall when people actually played Titanfall.
I still haven't even played it. I haven't downloaded it, but I haven't even tried it yet.
Yeah, it's fun. All the added content, it's a fun game. It's just really not a lot of people playing it anymore.
Oh my god, IGN did give Perfect Dark Zero an 8.4.
That's an awesome memory right there. You see that?
Look at that. Oh my god. Look at that.
9.7 from Talk Xbox.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if it's because of the whole shiny new hardware thing, like I was saying. And you gotta, well, another thing you have to look back on is that was the first HD system. Yeah. So, people, when they saw that.
Those launch games, do you remember those launch games? It was like King Kong, Call of Duty 2.
Call of Duty 2 was hands down the best game that launched on that system. Followed up by Cameo.
It was great. And then Oblivion came out not too long after that. I think it was like within 6 months of the system being out. But it was a pretty slow turn out there. Yeah,
Cameo was really good. That's an underrated game if anyone's never played Cameo, which is another game that you could have added to your list of being in development forever. I want to say...
How long was it in development?
It was originally a launch title for the GameCube that they announced. It was that when they showed the system off for the first time on the GameCube, Rare showed off Cameo. And it didn't come out the whole entire cycle of the GameCube and came out, and it was a launch title for the 360.
Wow.
So, but that's a very underrated game that a lot of people haven't played, probably.
I liked Cameo. That was one of my favorite games in the system when it first came out.
And then Ghost Recon was really good when it first came out. What else we got on that list?
So the next one is a whipping boy of all ours. It's Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs. Oh, man. How long did that get delayed? I know you did a little research on it.
It was originally announced in, it was started in 2009 and it was announced in 2012 and then was pushed back three different times to 2014.
And it's still, and you still couldn't shoot from the vehicle. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
And that was the last delay was when they had their issues with the downgrade of the graphics.
Yep.
At PAX, that was when that was like the last download or the last delay.
I forgot about all this awesome stuff. It's funny. It's like time goes so fast, and we're so with the internet age, we're just so kind of current events. Like, but it's so crazy how I even forget about how the whole downgrade of graphics, because now people don't even talk about it anymore. It's done. It's over with.
Yeah. I mean, and that game still sold 10 million.
That's ridiculous. Cool.
Well, there is probably going to be another. There's definitely going to be another one. So, I mean, hopefully they're. I mean, to me personally, I saw where they were going with it. The fact that you can shoot from a car is pretty ridiculous. It's pretty silly.
Yeah, we'd only been doing that since Grand Theft Auto 3.
Yeah,
right?
Only since Grand Theft Auto 3.
I think you could shoot from a car before you could even swim in Grand Theft Auto.
makes me want to play Grand Theft Auto 3 now.
I don't think you could swim in Grand Theft Auto 3. I didn't think you could swim until,
That's true, you can't.
Yeah, I want to say Vice City or San Andreas. I forget which one.
Vice City, you could.
Okay, there you go. See?
But, Watch Dogs, like, the concept is so incredible. I love the concept. And with them getting rid of yearly releases of Assassin's Creed, you'd think what would happen is we'd get... Every other year, you would get a Watch Dogs, and every other year, you would get an Assassin's Creed to just spread it out, so you don't get that franchise fatigue.
Yeah, I don't know. Is Call of Duty in the franchise fatigue yet?
Yes.
I mean, it was for me at like 2010.
It was for me after Black Ops 2. Once I played Ghosts, I was so mad that I bought it that I was like, okay, I'm never buying another Call of Duty. So it's been kind of at that for me.
For me, it'd be definitely the newest one because I honestly, I probably played it maybe 5 times and never touched a single player once. And that's strange for me, not such a single player game on Call of Duty.
I played the first Black Ops. I enjoyed the first Black Ops, and that was pretty much it. But
Black Ops 2 is excellent.
It was actually
the Blop.
Yep, Blops 2, excellent game.
So the next one on here is was at personal request of one of the writers on the website, Eddie. He made sure that I included Aliens Colonial Marines.
Was that the one from Gearbox and Sega?
Yes.
He has a hatred for Gearbox. I'm not even going to go into it.
We're not going to go deep dive into the whole thing, but I mean it was development hell. I mean it was 2008 to 2013. There were multiple delays. There was, you know, a lot of layoffs. There was lawsuits over taking resources from that game and putting it into Borderlands. All kinds of stuff going on in that game. A lot of it well documented.
Which is definitely the better choice for that company anyways, because Borderlands is...
Sure, I love Borderlands.
Yeah, as do I.
it bothers me, but I'm not as much of an Aliens horror as Eddie is, so I'm sure he'll listen to this later and call me and yell at me for not giving Gearbox more of the business.
But you know what, though? He got his Alien Isolation. I heard that's a great game, so...
There's your silver
lining. What? You don't like it, Chris?
It was good, but it was just terrifying.
Terrifying? Like, scary?
Terrifying.
Yeah. I don't know if I could play it, then.
Yeah, you won't be able to play it.
I played Outlast for, like, all of, like, 30 minutes, and I never touched that game again. That is a scary game.
Yeah. Let's just wait to the second one.
Gonna play the second one.
Homie, don't play that. Literally.
So the last one is another Gearbox game, and that would be the granddaddy of them all, Duke Nukem Forever.
Oh,
now, is that unfair to call a Gearbox game?
It's pretty unfair to call it a Gearbox game, but they were the ones that put the final product.
Yeah, but I mean, I think I would say at least probably one to two other developers touched it first, tainted it first.
Yeah.
It was from 2000 or from 1999. Hold on, let me go back. 1997 to 2011. Was the development, so it was 14 years.
Yeah, I mean, what was it originally in development for? Probably PC?
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
How long was Prey in development? Wasn't Prey in development for like 11 years? 10 or 11 years?
Yeah, but that's on the good side.
Is it?
Is it? I mean,
I liked Prey. You didn't like Prey?
Prey is on the good side?
Who didn't like Prey? You guys didn't like Prey?
Oh, man, I haven't laughed that hard since last week.
I mean, Prey? Really? On the good side?
I'm not gonna throw them into the same horribleness as Too Human and Perfect Dark Zero and Watch Dogs and Colonial
Marines. I think we're gonna have to bring this one down to a vote.
I think there's a very clear line of demarcation of what the grabby games were and what the... Not of the decent.
Well, we're gonna start in the gray area, I guess, with Prey.
We can start in the gray. We can start with Prey 2 next, if that's where you guys want to go. But 3D Realms created both of those games. 3D Realms was the original developer of Duke Nukem Forever, and then they were also the developers of Prey. So do you want to just segue into that? Do you guys want to talk about how horrible Duke Nukem?
No,
was?
It speaks for itself.
Yeah,
that horse enough for you guys.
We can definitely move on to talk about Prey. I already mentioned how long it was in development for.
Yeah, 95 to 2006.
Yeah, so it was 11 years. And
yeah,
it was okay, but yeah, that's all it was. It was okay.
I just didn't want to put it on the crap side because those other games were clearly
is it better than Perfect Dark Zero? Yes. But again, I mean, like, come on. Like, crap's crap.
Yeah, oh,
you, I don't know.
I remember buying it.
I didn't hate it as much as you guys hate it. And the fact, like, the sequel trailer that they had for Prey 2, that looked so good.
Yeah, until
it was like a Aliens Bounty Hunter type game, and it just looked awesome, and then dunzo.
And
pulled.
And then until it got canceled, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So is Prey 2 and StarCraft Ghost chilling together right now?
Probably somewhere in video game purgatory.
Along with Silent Hills.
Oh, poor PT.
No. There is no poor PT. That's terrible PT.
Oh, come on. You,
Kojima deserved better.
You didn't even get through all of it, did you?
No, because it's terrible.
Kojima deserved better. You know it.
Oh, yeah, because Kojima definitely deserved better. That's not the argument. But that little demo they released was awful.
Yeah, but they could have... I mean, you saw what they were trying to do. It could have been really good if they actually got to work on it.
If I seen more than one room, maybe.
Oh, jeez, this guy. It's just impossible to make
that. No, no, not impossible. Well, I really like...
Nintendo. Let's...
Hey, come on now, Chris. I love Tomb Raider Definitive
Let's
Edition.
Let's see... Oh, man, Tomb Raider's so good. Did you play the new one yet?
Not yet.
Oh God,
that's
good.
On the docket next after South Park, the Stick of Truth. I haven't.
That could have been on here too, actually, because that game took forever.
In fact, they even put their own jokes and stuff in, like that. It took so long to make in the game.
I already had like six games on here already, and I didn't know if I wanted to. Keep throwing
so that's like my Xbox game I'm playing right now, and then as soon as I'm done beating that, because nice. I really want to beat it before the Fractured Butthole comes out. But
is there a pause there?
Isn't I don't want to pause though.
There is no pause. It's just
the Fractured Butthole.
Such a great god! It is such a good title.
It's clever, just like their show. And then my Nintendo game I'm playing right now, Xenoblade Chronicles X, which is absolutely amazing. And I'm not playing anything currently on PlayStation. So,
gotcha. That was part of our like our grievances. The last time we did a podcast was the airing of the grievances one, and that was one of mine was that I hadn't even started Xenoblade Chronicles
yet. So good.
I know. No, like you, I have a horrible backlog. Right now.
You haven't even listened to the episode yet. Mike has to publish last week's episode about the backlogs at some point.
Yeah, Mike.
Wait, was that last week?
Yeah, okay. It was last week. Yeah.
See what happens. But okay.
Yep.
But, let's move.
Nice job, Mike. For talking about you from the future.
You won't even hear this till after you published it.
All right, so the next one is another game near and dear to my heart, the original Eternal Darkness, which was previously alluded to as Didact's good game from Silicon Knights. That was from 1998 to 2002. It was originally an N64 game and then completely reworked to a GameCube game and then delayed. One of the delays was also due to September 11th, and they had some content in there that they deemed that was a little too sensitive to be released so quickly afterward. So they delayed the game again, pulled some stuff out of it, and then released it.
I'm guessing it probably had to do with the war guy with the axe, maybe. I'm guessing that's the was like a firefighter.
I couldn't find exactly what the content was. It was just part of the thing that one of the interviews that I was able to find. They said that there was content there that they wanted to put in, but was too close.
That game is awesome because that's probably like the closest thing you'd get to like a Doctor Who game.
Probably.
That was the first. I remember playing a couple of the first Silent Hill games on PlayStation 1 and thinking they were pretty cool, and enjoying them. And I didn't never really enjoyed the PlayStation 1 Resident Evil games because they were just the tank control bothered me.
Don't even get me started about tank controls.
I fell in love with Eternal Darkness. Like that game was so good. That just the crazy crap that they would pull on you. The
less you knew going into the game, the better the experience was.
Oh yeah. Sure.
At this point, I mean, we could talk about it because it's not going to ruin it for anybody. Because if you haven't played it by now,
it's a 14-year-old spoiler, guys. 14 years.
I mean, they did some really crazy stuff. Like it would like bring you to a screen that looked identical to like your memory card screen, and it just like selects your memory card, deleting all memory, and you're like, what?
Oh my god! I've never played that game, but I think I would be devastated at that point.
Oh.
Seriously? Oh man.
And it pulled up your save files. So like it was actually your games.
Yep.
Like so you would see it and you'd be like, "Oh, that's like my Pikmin. What is this game doing?"
Yep. all my Smash Brothers characters are deleted. I freaked out, man. That game got me. It got me. Yeah, like you walk into a room and the walls were bleeding or you're on the ceiling, just all kinds of crazy crap.
Yeah, very very cool game.
So the next one is Alan Wake.
Never played it.
Great game.
Ah,
such a great game.
See, Chris likes it. Good man.
Is that on 360?
Yes.
Yeah, it was 2004 to 2010. It was originally in an Xbox game, and then was completely reworked to be an Xbox 360 game, and it was more similar to Max Payne originally, and then. Reworked into a survivor horror game,
which is exactly where they needed to go with it.
Yeah,
because it turned out to be an awesome game, and the fact that they didn't make a second one, I was shocked.
Yep. Visuals were awesome. Gameplay was really good.
Do they not have a sequel in production? The story?
No. Like they did a DLC afterwards, which was like maybe 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours, which is good. And then that was the last of it, and that was it.
Remedy's currently working on Quantum Break.
I was about to look that up. I was about to say, well, what are they working on? So they maybe...
I had you. I got you in my
maybe
notes.
Maybe they have something coming out afterwards for Alan Wake?
Hopefully.
That'd be cool. Hopefully. I'd play it.
Because if they had actually brought, like, Alan Wake 2 to Xbox One, like, I don't know, this past year or something like that, I will definitely have an Xbox One just for that game. Just saying.
I'm with you. I love that game. I would gladly play another one. Just so I can shoot spirits with a flare gun again.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, flashlight, get away from me, get away! And then when you run out of batteries, it would be like, you sit there just running around, and like, oh my god. But anyway, what's next on the list?
So the next one is Mafia 2, another Take-Two game. The main was from 2004 to 2010, and it was finally unveiled. And the main reason for this one was the developer was purchased, and then there was a lot of internal conflict about the direction of the game, how action-oriented it was going to be, and what systems it was going to release on as well.
I actually really did like that game. It makes me kind of excited for Mafia 3, but it's like on the same page. I'm like, it's like Grand Theft Auto a little bit, but not really. But maybe I want it. I don't know.
Yeah, looking at the trailers and the gameplay from Mafia 3, it looks a lot more like a cover shooter.
Yeah. Which I'm okay with. It's just...
Yeah.
We'll see when it comes out.
Mafia 2 is a great job with the tone was awesome. The story was really cool. Just the setting and everything. They did a great job. Mafia 2.
I've never played a Mafia game before in my life. Am I missing out?
Because you just played... I mean...
Good.
I'd try it. If I was you, I would try it. Like, oh, maybe I like it better than Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, I think they're a little more... It's a little more down to earth, open world style game.
It's not like Just
but
Cause,
but still set in like a mafia world, similar to Grand Theft Auto.
I actually played some Just Cause 3, Chris. Wasn't really that impressed.
Yeah, I know.
It was.
So the next one is Half-Life 2. Was from 1998 to 2004, and the main reasons for that one was from their network being cracked and the source code being leaked, and Gabe Newell going on a personal manhunt, trying to get the crowd to try to find the guy for him.
Did he find him?
Yeah, he was found. That was a pretty big story back in the day.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really a big PC gamer. And it was okay, but I don't know, nothing. It wasn't like anything like groundbreaking to me. I know I probably would catch flack for that with a lot of gamers, but
I've never played Half-Life 2. I played Half-Life 1, I believe, when it first came out, and I was like really, really young. But other than that,
and he was probably like meh.
Yeah, because I like got to it and got to the first part, and I was like, okay, this is kind of creepy for me to be playing this. I'm kind of not old enough to be playing this, but I'm going to try to keep playing it. Got through probably half of it, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm done.
What's your feelings on Half-Life there, Dante?
I was never a PC gamer growing up and everything. I never really got to play them on the computer, so when it was originally delayed and everything, I pretty much had a similar reaction of, meh, not a big deal. And then when it released on the Xbox One, I finally got to play it, and I realized what the hell everybody was excited about. And I really enjoyed it. It was one of the best shooters I had ever played. But I'm glad it was released on a console so I could actually play it, because, like I said, I was never really a PC guy. But
maybe I don't know. Maybe it has to do with, like, I just don't, like, I'm not a big single-player shooter guy. Like, I don't know. Like, if I'm going to play a single player in a shooter, I'd rather be co-op.
Yeah.
Like, Borderlands? Like, if I played that by myself, I would hate it.
I don't know. I enjoy Borderlands.
I like playing it with, like, a group of four people, because it's fun to run around and kill things and just... It's kind of mindless, almost, so you can kind of, like, bull crap about whatever you want while you're playing it.
Be loot whores and stuff.
Yeah, basically, just run around, loot whore, just talk about whatever.
I think that's the reason why I didn't really play that game too much.
Which one?
Or Borderlands. I haven't gotten really that much into it. I was just like, I played it by myself mostly, and I was like,
I'm telling you, that's what it is. Like, I mean, if you're into that kind of thing and you don't mind playing solo, you might like it, but for the most part, when I'm playing a first-person shooter, like, I won't play Halo unless I'm playing online with somebody, like, through the story mode. Like, I don't know what it is. To me, like, first-person shooters are just meant to be played with other people. Like, whether it be multiplayer or the story missions. The only exception, I know you guys are giving me the Nintendo crap, but, like, I feel like Metroid Prime's different because it's very atmospheric.
Wasn't that first-person adventure, though, too? It wasn't just a shooter.
I mean, yeah, I'll play other, like...
God, I love Metroid Prime. God, I love Metroid.
So good. And when they put the Wii controls on it, so much better. Oh my God, so good.
I mean, you won't get...
Yeah, this year is Metroid's 30th anniversary, so we better get some awesome collection, release, new game besides Federation, because if that's all we get... Is the Federation game on 3DS.
At this point, I would just be happy with the HD collection with dual analog control scheme. That would make me happy at this point.
Would I like
a new game? Absolutely. But would I be happy with an HD collection with dual analog controls? Absolutely too.
The old girl's turning 30. You gotta hook up Zelda. Yeah,
Zelda's.
Well, we see the Zelda game this year.
Well, yeah. The
speaking of Zelda, the next game on our list. Brilliant segue. You guys are professionals.
Absolutely. I don't even have your list. That's a crazy thing.
So the Twilight Princess was delayed for a full year, so it could coincide and release on the Wii as well as the GameCube,
and also on the Wii U. 2 months later from now.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember that, but it came out on the yes. Wii first.
Yes.
It came, and then a month later it came out on the GameCube. Like, you guys made they made the GameCube crowd wait a full year, and then made them wait another month after the
Wii. And if you remember, the Wii version got a lot of crap.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was right-handed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which.
Yep. So that was supposed to be November 2005, and then it was finally released in November.
Which is terrible that it got all that crap, because you know what? It's like every incarnation of Link's a different Link anyways. So what's the odds that he's going to be left-handed every single time?
Yeah, well, he was lefty. He was a lefty in the GameCube version.
Yes, he was. The whole world was backwards in the GameCube version. They literally mirrored the worlds. In the different versions, so it's not like he was like right handed. Like, they literally just flipped everything.
So people actually really gave flack.
It's a thing, man.
That was huge. I remember that being a huge point of contention with the nerds that I knew.
Who cares?
Nerds. Nerds.
He's
care
holding
a great deal.
He's holding the sword with the wrong hand. What is going on?
Mario shaved his mustache. What?
I'm done.
Oh, man. What if they gave Mario like a full
beard? That'd be awesome. What if he had like a full beard? Like, what if he like grew a playoff like beard for like Mario Hockey?
Just give him a hipster beard, put him in flannel, and we can just go about our day and never play another Mario.
That'd be horrible. I would cry times two, considering the hype that I got over the weekend when the rumors busted that there's going to be a new Paper Mario game for the Wii U.
Did you not hear?
No.
That's rumors that it's actually even complete and in localization process in North America.
What?
Yes.
Is it similar to like Thousand Year Door, or is it more Super Paper Mario?
You know, they didn't say, but I wouldn't mind either one. So that's hard for me to even like choose, because Super Paper Mario is really cool. But I kind of feel like it should have been like a one off. So I feel like they should go back to like the tried and true, like Thousand Year Door or 64.
Oh God, he's still my heart. I'd be so happy about it. All right, so the last game on the good list is L.A. Noire, which was 2004 to 2011, and it was a
really.
I'd say okay. So that's a game in a gray area. To be perfectly honest, it was good. It was long, and it got repetitive. But I mean, the facial capture and all that stuff, it was actually really good.
Yeah, that was one of the major reasons why the game had been delayed so many times, was that they had worked on the motion capturing over and over and over again, and that last iteration was when they finally hit it on the head. But it was originally just a Sony exclusive detective game without any of the open world style stuff, and then they 2K bought it, bought the developer, they made it multi-platform, and then went into the development of that, making it more action-y cop game.
I mean, which was a good move, but I just remember playing that game. I remember how long it took. I remember a lot of people were saying, like, oh, it's like Grand Theft Auto, but you're a cop, and it's just too boring for me. Like,
but
you guys don't like story games, I guess.
But the real question is it better than Battlefield Hardline?
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
A lot better.
I'll have to try it. I you know what's sad? It's like games that I say I've never played, I probably own them. Like, I own that game. I know I own that game, and I've just never played it.
Never played it.
Another one on your backlog.
Oh, man, I have so many games that I own, because I get them for, like such, like, dirt cheap, like, prices that, like, I remember back in the day, Best Buy, instead of doing their Gamers Club Unlocked, they had, like, their gamer magazine and, like, the Gamers Club Unlocked, like, all, like, in one. And it was more expensive, but the magazine every month had, like, coupons in it. Like, I got Rage for $5, like, and it was, like, new. Like, I got it, there was, like, another game that they had in there for $5. I forget which one it was, but, like, I would get, like, all these crazy deals, like, games for, like, I remember walking out of Best Buy one day, and for, like, $30, I had, like, five games. All new. And I'm just like,
all new.
I hear you.
I was just like, how can you not buy them for that cheap?
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty.
Yep, I remember that stuff too. I used to get.
Yeah, and it's too. Just I'm just like I would get the coupons. And I'm like, how can I not go get it for that price?
That was good.
So those are all my good ones. I mean, there's plenty more, but the history of the delayed games and stuff is pretty fascinating to me. But I'm one of those guys that as long as the game comes out, I'm okay, as long as it doesn't go into purgatory like the aforementioned StarCraft Ghost.
Whatever happened to Star Wars, what was it?
1313.
Yep, there you go.
Canceled.
Is it canceled or is it still in development?
Well, no, they canceled it. Well, no, I don't know, actually. Because I remember Amy Henning left Naughty Dog to join that team. And after that, I don't know.
Yeah, there's other Star Wars games in development. Like, there's one from Visceral that might be where hopefully where Annie Henning is working on now. But yeah, I that game looks so cool.
Yeah, it did.
But you know, to quote your boy Miyamoto, a delayed game is eventually good. A bad game is bad forever.
Absolutely.
So. Absolutely. Having said that, we're still waiting on Uncharted 4, which is delayed again. Still waiting on Star Fox, delayed again.
Well, that's for a good reason.
The Division, which was delayed again. That was supposed to be a launch window
that
game.
That is true.
Of these current console system, and we're just now getting the beta.
which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the funny thing is I think they announced Rainbow Six 3 like after, and that game's out now. Or
No.
3, I meant Siege.
Siege. Yeah. Siege, yeah.
Rainbow Six 3 was announced, and then they canceled it and made it into Siege. And then, yeah. But there were Rainbow Six 3 and then The Division were announced pretty much around the same time.
But the game that we're
waiting on still, after all these years, is Last Guardian.
What about Shenmue 3?
They finally got the Kickstarter going and all that stuff.
And Half-Life 3?
I mean, did they ever really announce Half-Life 3?
Nope.
Did they?
Because, I mean, Last Guardian was shown, announced in 2009, and here we are in 2016, still waiting on
I'm still waiting
date.
For World of Warcraft 2.
Was that ever?
No, but I mean, how long can they milk that thing, man? The thing's been out freaking 12 years, man.
They can milk that forever. They come out with a new expansion.
I can't believe that people still pay $15 a month for that thing.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that.
People still probably go
unbelievable
to GameStop and Best Buy and get the game cards and whatnot.
The one day every year or so when there's an expansion that all the nerds leave their mom's basement to go get their little expansion. Those days are scary, man. You don't know. When you work at a game store and you see people.
I did
okay,
too.
And you see people, and the only time of the year they ever looked like they came outdoors to pick something up was that release day. You know, it's a scary day.
And they sit there and wait for hours before you open.
And they have no social skills.
Yeah, none. It's like, I just want to get this game. Let me get the strategy guide too. The hardcover one. Special edition. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, man. World of Warcraft. What could even be in the strategy guide? The game changes every week.
I don't know. I just remember the strategy guide for it. I just remember that.
Like, literally, they have, like, hot fixes every week, so everything in the strategy guide is wrong. Is there any other games that were, that have been delayed into, like, eternity?
That we're still waiting
for? Did, like,
for?
The Uncharted 4 get, like, delayed past of, like, April? Okay.
No. April 29th.
Yeah, no, it was supposed to... It was supposed to be, yeah, I mean, it was...
May 13th?
It's just...
March 13th.
It was where's No Man's Sky at, guys?
It was March to March.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I wanted to put that. I was gonna put that on there too. I just figured No Man's Sky was.
I'm still waiting to know what the game's about.
Yeah, it's only. I mean, it's only been. It's been
about, like, is it gonna be like Minecraft?
It probably will be.
I hope not.
Like I'm still like I watch the videos and I still like I walk away and I'm like I still I'm know about as much as I knew the first time I heard about the game.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they're waiting for it to be the first PlayStation VR game. That's what I think it's gonna be. So I think they're just gonna hold off until whatever. Since they when they decided like, oh, we're gonna release PlayStation VR
that no one could afford.
And then it's like, okay, well, here's your free game with it. Or no, probably not free.
They're not going to give away that. Like, they won't even give away Knack on the PlayStation Plus. So they ain't going to give away No Man's Sky.
Oh, God,
that is true. I totally forgot about that game.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I don't really... I haven't even tried VR stuff. I have not tried it yet. But I can only imagine that No Man's Sky and The Witness would be a lot of fun in the VR, but man, I can't really justify it.
Have you tried VR yet?
I haven't.
No, I haven't touched it. I know Mike did it at PAX, I think, or E3.
I don't trust Mike's opinion. He gets very excited about new tech. So
me and Mike tried it at PAX last year. I mean, I liked it. I really enjoyed it. So I know I'm getting it.
Here's my issue with VR, is it's very 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 gimmicky. It's something I wouldn't want to do all the time. And to me, paying as much for a console as something I'm not going to even use that much, it's not even worth it.
I find it for me to be like, it's something new and it's technology wise, and I'll be like, okay, I can get behind this. And I mean, it's something different from just sitting in front of your screen all the time, where you like immerse yourself in the world.
Yeah, I think AR is going to be the better technology than VR.
Probably.
I think like what Microsoft was showing for like Minecraft with that like table thing, that looks a lot cooler than anything I think VR is going to do. Because really, all VR is an LCD screen wrapped around your head. Like,
yeah,
like is. To me, AR is just so much cooler. Like, it's actually like right there in your environment.
But you need the Kinect camera and all that stuff for it, don't you?
I'm sure you need something. What is it called? The Microsoft thing?
Kinect.
No, not the Kinect. Like with their AR technology.
Oh, it's
it's something glass, isn't it? It's not smart glass. It's something else.
No, smart glass was their app that they released. A long time ago. I know what you're talking about, though.
HoloLens. Thank you. But the HoloLens is awesome to me. Like, to me, like, that looks way more, like, I don't know. Just VR to me is, like, if I'm laying down in bed, I can't, like, it's going to be hard to turn my head to look at stuff. I don't know. It's just, like...
Do you lay down to play video games,
I do.
Anthony?
I lay down. When I play my Xbox, I'm laying down. Because I have it in my room. So when I'm laying down in bed for the night, I'll go and pop a game in and play it while I'm laying down. The other times I'll be sitting on my couch and playing it, but most of the time I use my gamepad more than my TV when I'm doing that, because usually Avery will have something on. So I'll use my gamepad, I'll play like Xenoblade on the gamepad and stuff like that while she's watching like Minions or something.
Oh. Yeah, I always sit up. So, I mean, it makes no difference to me.
I think you'd have to stand,
I just
though,
don't
wouldn't
know.
You?
No. I've actually seen someone use it just recently, just sitting down.
Yeah, I mean, much like the Wii controller, unless it's... The Wii controller only added, to a couple of experiences, and then after that, I didn't really care to use it. I'd rather use the Virtual Con controller.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the same
and
thing.
This just feels thing. Like that. This just feels like that, you know, that there's going to be a couple of experiences that are really, really cool with it, and then other than that, you know, I don't really see the value in it, but again, I haven't tried it, so we'll see. You know, if I try it one day and it's you know, mind blowing, then I'll eat a lot of crow. But
I just think it's weird because, I mean, would you like, here's the thing. Say Eddie or Mike goes to your house, Dante, are you really going to be putting this thing on while they're sitting there?
So I don't have to talk to Mike.
Well,
yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I would do that.
Valid point. I would go more so I don't have to see Mike, but...
Jokes. Mike from the future, just jokes.
Yeah, but I mean, you can actually still see what's going on the TV screens, like whoever is watching you.
So then why not just play it on the TV screen? Like, how does it make the experience any different?
It's just wrapped around your head. This is all you see. You don't see anything else. But
to me, like why? Honestly, the game that would sell me is Metroid Prime. So if Nintendo releases a Metroid Prime using the Sony VR, I'll buy it.
How cool would that be when you scan stuff?
I just want to walk Prime. Around like the world of like Metroid Prime. I just want to walk around in there. I don't even have to fight or fire anything.
The Morph Ball experience would be badass. You like shift down into the ball. You're like a transformer. Your view would change. Your perspective would change. Hmm. Hey Nintendo, we just made you $1 billion.
There you go. I'd make Nintendo $1 billion over again, over and over and over and over again. But they won't listen to me. Sure.
Nope. Yeah, I never even get a call back for them. Leave voicemails for Reggie. You're just like, we got it.
So, like, I was just looking at the PlayStation update earlier, and there's this game called, like, 90s Morning RPG or something like that.
Right.
And, yeah, like, if they could make a Captain N RPG, I'd be all over that. There's more billions of dollars, Nintendo. Captain N RPG. Chris, you're probably too young. You don't know Captain N and the Game Masters are.
Yeah, I'm actually too young for that. I'm sorry, I apologize.
It's all right. Amazing this cartoon.
This guy's over here with Similac on his breath still.
What was that?
Nothing. Just jokes.
What'd you say?
I said this guy's over here with Similac on his
Similac.
Breath.
Similac. I gotcha. Oh, man. Anyway. Please tell me, Dante, you've watched Captain N and the Game Masters.
Yes. I am nerdy enough to have watched
it. I'm sorry, I just don't know your age. I know your friends with Mike, so I'm guessing around Mike's age.
Oh, yeah,
there you go, around Mike's age.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'm the youngest one. Probably.
Yeah, you are.
I'm the whole group.
Like 14, but you know.
I'm not 14.
Plus, like, another 14, maybe?
Almost.
There
actually,
you go.
This year.
Boom. 28.
This year.
So what was the first video game system you played, Chris?
It was Super Nintendo.
It's just one generation past
well,
mine.
Well, two for me. I played Atari first and then Nintendo.
And then, the first console I actually owned would be PlayStation 1.
I'm sorry.
Actually, no, take it back. Sega Genesis.
I'm even more sorry.
And then Sega Game Gear. And then PlayStation 1.
Well, are you talking trash about Genesis? You talking about trash about Genesis?
Absolutely. Yes. You can't even say it.
Why are you talking trash about Sega Genesis?
It's not the Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo.
Ugh, Jesus Christ. Chris, I'm with you. I had a Sega and only a Sega. I never owned a Super Nintendo. I played a lot of it, but I never owned one.
I mean, the first Nintendo system I actually ever owned was probably the Wii.
That's just awful, Chris.
I'm sorry.
But I'll tell you what. The Super Nintendo, and this is why, is like once I played Super Metroid, like my video game life changed. That game is amazing.
Super Metroid and Link to the Past for me were like the two games. I remember just constantly wanting to borrow a friend's.
Oh, Link
Super
to the
Nintendo
Past was just
so
wonderful as
games.
Well.
Those were my two games.
And then
that
was
over.
Like my epicness of RPGs, like Final Fantasy 4 and 6 and Chrono Trigger are just like, to me, like when I play an RPG, if it doesn't at least live up to those three games, then it's not good.
Not good.
Like those,
if you don't hold up to three of the greatest role playing games of all time, you
absolutely
are
that is like absolutely. That's the bar, man. Like, if they made that game in the early 90s, if you can't beat a game from the early 90s, come on.
Yeah, I think we talked about this in a previous show. I never played an RPG until Final Fantasy VII. That was the first one I ever played, and then and that's Eddie's fault, by the way. Screw you, Eddie. That was the first one I'd ever played, and then that was my gateway drug into role playing games, and I fell in love with.
Did you go back and play Chrono Trigger at any time?
No, I played. I went and played 4. I went and played 6. I went and played Chrono Trigger. I went, you know, Secret of Mana.
Oh, Secret of Mana is so great.
All that stuff, and then, you know, and then jumped into the PS1 RPGs and all that. So yeah, that was my gateway drug.
Oh.
Yeah, right? Right. And now they're making it some like episodic game, and it just makes me want to kill Square. Not that they didn't.
So how was it Eddie's fault? Just curious.
So I was perfectly happy in my world of action games,
Joe Montana's
sports
football.
Games and fighting games. Football. Yeah, it was like Madden. Like I basically just like I played Madden, I played Tony Hawk, I played racing games, action games, and then I stupidly became friends with Eddie, and he made me play Final Fantasy VII.
So when did you stupidly become friends with Mike?
probably within the year of that, actually. So that was like 17 years ago. So I've probably known Mike for 16 years,
damn,
half my life. So wow. So I have a good half of my life. And then I have a post-Mike section of my life, which is
awesome. Just be happy you never had to live with him.
Yeah.
Well, that was your decision.
Been there, done that.
What else can we make fun of Mike on this podcast?
Been there, done that. Hey, we're just taking out the trash.
Yeah, you haven't been on here with me in a while. I think we got to get our bashing in on him.
Absolutely. Hey, you know what? It's his fault. He decided to not join us tonight because he went like all Jean-Claude Van Damme at Kickboxer. So
I thought because he had to work.
Was he doing
he
splits?
Told me he does kickboxing on Tuesday nights, so I don't know what his lies he's spreading.
Yeah, he said that on the thing that he had to work late or something.
Oh,
Which Jean-Claude Van Damme? Is it Time Cop or Kick or like?
Was Blood it not Sport? Kickboxer? Who's a Kickboxer?
No, it's, you know, Kickboxer's Van Damme too. But I didn't want to give him that because that's a good one.
Give him Kickboxer too, then.
a Blood Sport's good. Too, never mind.
Just give him Time Cop.
We can give him like Lionheart, I guess.
The Quest.
Lionheart's pretty crappy. The Quest. Universal Soldier.
The Return.
This podcast.
Oh man,
else big time.
Yeah, not this isn't even slightly off topic. This is just like we're gone.
Completely.
We're wasted. We're white girl wasted right now.
Yeah.
Are we just when you guys do the summary for the podcast, are you gonna go first 40 minutes pretty much about this, and the last 20 minutes is just
him bashing on Mike. Oh, I can't wait to hear next week's podcast where Mike doesn't invite any of us and just like totally like bashes each one of us.
Hey, everybody, this is Michael from Game Gravy doing this one solo because everybody's in here.
You may catch me on my YouTube channel, blah, 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 blah.
where I have voodoo dolls of Dante, Chris, and Anthony. I'm going to poke them all in the eyes.
They will feel this pain right now. And none of us flinch.
So what are you guys playing right now?
I already told you. South Park and Xenoblade Chronicles X.
South Park. Oh, that's right. Chris, what are you playing right now?
I'm still playing Madden. I'm in my Connected franchise with 3 other guys. And
okay.
Also playing Baseball Riot, the game.
Oh, I'm playing that as well, Chris.
Oh, that just... Oh, okay, yeah, that's like... isn't like Angry Birds, but with baseball?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's not good.
It's not good at all.
It's not good at all. Oh, man, that's heartbreaking. I was going to want to try it.
No, don't.
I'm also reviewing Hyper Void, but I don't really consider me playing those games because I'm just reviewing them. I'm not really, like, playing them. But Hyper Void's better than Baseball Riot, but that's about all I got to say about that.
Yeah, Baseball Riot is just... I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how you could even make that game even better.
You can't.
You really can't. It's just
the only way you can make it better if it was like pinball, and like you could keep hitting the ball.
What if they added like old retired baseball pitchers that were into drugs or alcohol? Like you could use David Wells.
Yeah, but David Wells pitches perfect Roger games Clemens
or something Wells like that. No, I get that, but like use all the there's a David Wells cheat where he's drunk, and then he's throwing perfect games. Or Roger Clemens, where he's using like steroids.
The guys you have to hit when you're playing a game already look that way to begin with. So I mean, it's like, I don't know.
And then you get to like the second part of it, and it's like you get fielders on there that can catch the ball, so you like have to hit them everywhere but the mitt.
Yeah.
And then it just and you can't go back to the first area after you're in the second area. Yeah, after you take the little plane over to the second area, it doesn't let you go back over to the first area. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird because I played good games from 10 tons. That's why it's like weird, because like I really like Crimson Land. I thought Crimson Land was a lot of fun.
Are they the same people who did Tennis in the Face as well?
Yeah, and Tennis in the Face is like the same kind of game, but it's so much better.
Huh.
Maybe it just works better hitting people in the face with a tennis ball instead of hitting them in the face with a baseball. I don't know.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's more just going to hurt instead of injure you.
Yeah, I'm not really feeling it, but I asked Mike for a review copy of Freeze Me for the Wii U, which to me looks awesome, but he was making fun of me saying it looks like Mario 64 meets Dora the Explorer.
Oh my god.
But I did put in a request for it, as well as I did The Witness, but I don't know if I'll get The Witness, so.
Oh man, I really want to play that. I just wish it had a demo.
Yeah, I hear it's just like basically like a big open world with a bunch of puzzles. And I'm sure. Okay with that, but $40.
Yeah, I mean, I love Braid. I'm sure everybody that's played Braid loves Braid, but $40 is a little higher than I would assume for
indie
for
games.
Indie
to
game.
Me should cap at a 20.
$25 at most.
25. See, now you're getting ridiculous because I used to say 15. So then I'm saying 20 because I've played.
So you mean tell me you would not pay $25 for Rocket League?
Rocket League. I would pay $30 for Rocket League.
Rocket League's a different scenario though, because I don't know if I would have bought it if I didn't have it free on the PlayStation Plus.
Well, that's why you include demos in your freaking arcade games, like the 360 and the PS3 did, instead of not having them.
You know what's funny though? I don't even know if I would have. Like, I don't normally do demos. So the fact that was a PlayStation Plus game was probably the only reason I played that game. And then since then, I bought every expansion and anything you can buy for the game.
Sure. But not every game can be a freaking PlayStation Plus game, so get the demo out so people can actually try your game.
I'll give you that. I think The Witness should be a PlayStation Plus game, though. I'm feeling it.
Next month, you feeling it?
I'm feeling it. Let's do it.
That would be nice. I would gladly
just
take it.
More days.
We're gonna get crap and more crap.
You never know.
Yeah. You never know. Yeah. I'm in the middle of Banner Saga right now, which is really good. I'm reviewing that.
It looks good.
And then, yeah, they did a great job.
Who does that one?
That is, Runic. I think it's Runic Games. Hold on, don't quote me on it.
What else have they done?
Stoic Studio. Sorry, my bad. My bad, Banner Saga. Don't
yell at them. Do it. Great Detective Pikachu. Birth of a new combination. All over it. Is that Wii U? Oh, 3DS? No, not all over it. They just lost my business.
It's only for the Japanese market right now anyway, so.
It doesn't matter. They just lost my business. I don't want no 3DS games. Especially if the NX is going to be a handheld. Get all these 3DS games out of my face.
So NX is... Wait, they didn't say something about NX being a handheld, didn't they?
Well, they said that it was going to be a handheld and a console that both worked on the same operating system, and that they would release the This is all rumors, of course, that they were going to release the handheld this year and the console next year. But, again, rumors.
Wait, say that one more time. The handheld is this year and then the console Correct. Will be next year?
Correct.
And that's all rumors. We're going to get that in E3.
Yeah.
More than likely.
No, that would be E3. They're not going to do that in a direct. They're
not gonna Have they been at E3 in the past 2 years?
Yeah, they do. They do their little... they do like a really long direct as their press conference. They do it in the morning.
That's what I'm saying. But they do like a really big show anymore? I thought they just
do directs. But if they're going to show hardware off, they'll be there.
That's what I'm saying. Like that's why I was saying if they actually.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Presence. So like the first year they did their E3 conference was pretty awesome. I thought their direct was pretty awesome. Last year I thought it was pretty lackluster. I think they. I don't know. They just didn't have a lot to show.
With the puppets?
Well, no, like, that was okay. Like, I didn't mind the whole Muppet thing. Like, that was pretty funny. But, like, I just thought, like, what they showed of Star Fox looked terrible. I thought that, you know, I thought they should have showed Animal Crossing for the Wii U, but instead they showed that, like, garbage, like, Amiibo festival. And, yeah, basically everything they showed was, like, either, like, spin-offs or, like, they weren't, like, main franchise things. And the fact that Zelda was missing was just really hurt it.
Yep.
But I don't know. How do you feel about that home front?
Who, me?
I don't know. I think it looks good. The co-op multiplayer?
Revolution, right?
Yeah.
I liked the first one. I thought it was decent.
I didn't play the first one because I just remember like when we were working there, it was like it came out and everyone was like, oh, I don't know if we should get it. Then like suddenly it just like boomed and like everyone started buying it and we ran out of copies so quickly. I was like, I'd never tried it though.
The new one, I don't know. I just like as soon as I seen like it was online co-op, like I was kind of like, okay, I'm kind of like want to give this a chance. Now, did you guys ever play the game back in the GameCube PS2 era called Freedom Fighters? Awesome game. Like that game. That's like what I want Homefront to be. I just don't know if it'll ever be that. But like to me, like. I just really want like something like that, but online. Co-op.
Yeah, I mean, IO did that, and they were the guys that made went to Hitman, and it was just a really cool game. I mean, I don't know how far back a lot of the people are going to listen to this will go back into that, but it was during that time when like Mercenaries was out and Freedom Fighters and God, what was the other game? It was like these awesome third-person shooters.
I'm not sure.
I'm not Jeez. Sure.
Can't think of it. But anyway, it was a cool game.
Well, all right.
Alrighty then. So, did you guys have anything else to add before we call it a break till next week?
No.
Alrighty then. So we will be back next week. I don't know what the topic's going to be. We will have some interviews coming up, so definitely keep an eye on the site. I know for a fact we're going to interview X Studios soon, who is making the RPG Y2K. We're going to have them on. And
That's awesome.
Yeah, I forget who else we were going to have on. Mike had a couple other... I think we were going to have Image and Form on at some point. And I don't remember what the other developer was that we're going to have on. Someone else he was talking to at PAX East we were going to have on. But I'm pretty sure he'll meet some other people that we'll have on from PAX South. So, yeah. So just keep an eye on the site and we'll have some interviews. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Later, guys.
All right. See you later, guys. Thanks for listening.